Good morning. If that sounds more than vaguely familiar, it should. This is Luke's version of the same sermon we heard a part of 2 weeks ago at the conclusion of our year-long cycle on Mark. The liturgical year begins again where it ended. A different evangelist this time will be reading Luke this year. He has a different emphasis, a different theology, a different spirituality, different palette, different brushstrokes. But it's the same Jesus that he's painting. And in each of them, the last thing that happens before the Passion, Death, and Resurrection narratives is this sermon on the coming of the kingdom. The coming of the kingdom. Something you hear either too much or not enough about most places, most times. A theme very easy to get wrong, very hard to balance well enough to have it right, but something very necessary for us in our day-to-day living as Christians. Easy to do it wrong. Start with the clues we give you here. Right? There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. People will be perplexed. Nations will be in dismay. People will die of fright. Start off from there and you get apocalyptic movies that borrow the word even. The great disaster. Be afraid. Well, sowing terror is not what it's about. Yeah, we're told people will be dying of fright, but you're not supposed to do that. When these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads. Your redemption is at hand. This is something you're looking forward to, not something you're afraid of. This is not the ultimate set of fantasies to scare children with, to sell movies over. The second thing you do with it, of course, is to use it as a club to beat up on your enemies. Yeah, my redemption is at hand, but we're not too sure about yours. You've seen the bumper sticker? I can't repeat it literally in church, at least I don't think I'm supposed to, but Jesus is coming and boy is he. And you get that attitude a lot from the general impression. Have you ever been to the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington? There's this mural, a mosaic of Christ over the great nave. That's what it looks like. He's coming and he's going to kick it. Well, that's not what it's about either. But people have used it that way, Catholics, Protestants, you name it. It's vindication time. God is going to come and prove that I was right all along and that you were wrong all along and my redemption is at hand, but wait till you see what you get. That's not what it's about either. So, when you're taking those two things away, you're taking most of the fun out of it, right? And, you know, it's not happening immediately anyway. So let's just put it on the back burner quietly. And that's our temptation. I don't think there's too many people here who are tempted to go into fear and trembling over the coming. I don't think there's too many people in this congregation who are tempted to use it as a shibboleth to beat up on unbelievers or wrong believers or non-believers or whatever. But I think there's a lot of times that we're tempted to just sort of ignore the whole thing. And that's sort of where Luke's people were. Remember, Luke is a generation later than Mark. We're now well into the 80s, maybe closer to the 90s. It's been a long time since the year 30. People have been born and lived and died. I mean, the average life expectancy was 30 years. You're two generations away from the people who knew Christ when he was alive and to whom this sermon was a new idea. So people are saying, yeah, right, uh-huh. Hasn't happened yet. Probably never will. It's the stories they made up to scare children or sell religion or whatever. We'll try to figure out what this means day to day, but don't tell us about this coming of the kingdom stuff. Problem with that, first of all, it's too simplistic. So it doesn't work logically. And secondly, psychologically, it deprives us of our goal. It's an old Chinese proverb. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with single step. But if you don't know where that goal is, even though it's 1,000 miles away, you won't take a single step. Or if you do, you'll just be walking in circles. We have to know where we're going in order to do anything to get there. The goal was important. If there is no coming of the kingdom, there's not a whole lot of point to what we do day by day. So we need to recover that sense. Look forward to it. We need to live, as the prayer after communion says, in patient hope and joyful hope. Now, it's hard to be both of those. Patient hope. Well, I can be patient. It's hard to be joyful and patient at the same time. I can be joyful, but then it's hard to be patient. But both are necessary. I mean, the people who say, well, it's probably not coming in our time, are probably right, right? We're now 2,000 years away from Luke's congregation. Still hasn't come. Probably not coming in our time. Furthermore, in our time, we've learned that this process is 13 billion years old. I mean, we're working for a very patient God around here. What if it takes another 13 billion years to get to this kingdom? We certainly do need the patience. But we also need the joy. We need the anticipation. We need the sense of direction. We need the sense of purpose. And that's why Advent is more than just preparing for Christmas. Surely it is that, and as we move farther into it, it will become more intensely that as we begin to contemplate the mystery of the Incarnation. In fact, there's a hint of that already here and now in this week. But it's not just looking backwards to that coming. It's looking forwards to the coming of the kingdom. It's looking forward to the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. That's a part of our Advent expectation. It's a part of our joyful, patient hope. And what we need to do is to tie all three of those together. So only then does it make sense. There is this patient God who started 13 billion years ago, who is the same patient God who will bring it to conclusion maybe 13 billion years from now. That same God has been present in the law and in the prophets and in the writings. That same God is the God who made the promises. That same God is the God who gave the Son to be one with us and to walk with us. That same God is the one who is present with us. This is sort of our mantra for this Advent season. God is in our midst. But this God who is in our midst is not just a God who's here at this point. This is the same God who's been there from the beginning. The same God who is already well up ahead, calling us forward, encouraging us on, like parents trying to teach a one-year-old to walk. You know, take mommy's arms. Now come to daddy. Now let go of mommy and take a couple steps. Yeah, right, gotcha. God is eagerly teaching us to walk. God is eagerly building us and sending us out to build the kingdom. God is living in this patient hope. So should we. Of course, it's a little easier for God. It's all present to God. God doesn't have to wait. But that's one of the problems about being finite. We do have to wait. We may have to wait a few more billion years. But we need to know that the God who is bringing it all to completion is in our midst now and is going with us, hoping with us, working with us, suffering with us, looking forward with us in joyful, patient hope to the coming of the kingdom. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.